some joy. And that is, anybody need some pleasures evermore? Amen. In his right hands, there are pleasures evermore. We thank God for all that he's doing. And more importantly, for all that he's doing, we thank God for what he's going to do. I've been so glad to know that they know the Lord. Tonight, they know the Lord. Tonight with a subject on, is your relationship with the Lord casual or is it serious? On Sunday, we went over what is that one thing that's holding you back from being all that God wants you to be? Now, we all have our own aspirations and inspirations, but what is the one thing? Well, y'all remember that? This don't mean excuse me. I know at church a lot of times when you get ready to go out, we're talking about the one thing that's preventing you from being what God wants you to be. So tonight, is your relationship with the Lord, is it a casual relationship or is it a serious relationship? Truly, we thank God for my wife, amen, fighting her allergies, wheezing all night, keeping me awake. I think, I don't know if I'll be awake or asleep. I don't know where I'll be. It'll be something. Amen. But truly, we bless the Lord. We thank God for that. Tonight, the most important thing is, what is our relationship with God? You know, if you think of making equations, there's only one relationship that will last in eternity. In this whole world, there's only one relationship that will last in eternity. And that relationship is with who? The Lord. But it seems as times, and so we place more of an emphasis on our temporary relationships. And Paul said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, because the things which are seen are what?
Temporal.
Right? But the things which are not seen are hallelujah." How many of us are working on our eternal relationship tonight? Amen. Now, our theme for the year is what? Stacked against them. Amen. Can you believe God through it?
Amen.
Or is there one thing that's preventing you? Amen. With that in mind, also, we did receive the baptismal pool today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank God that I had. James was strong enough. I was like, well, we'll wait for everybody else to say, no, we'll pick you up. I said, well, we'll wait for Elder Gibbs and Minister Simon, some real powerhouses. I said, nah, we got this. So we got it. And then make sure we got it. He said, look, you picked it up too. Amen. So we bless the Lord. But the baptismal pool is in the back. We did not cover it because it's still from traveling and all that, a lot of different odors. And we didn't want anyone to have an excuse for leaving out of church early. So we think we'll do it tomorrow, we can air out, amen. But we thank God for that, amen. Because God has the work for us to do. And we need all the tools to make his work complete, amen. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading tonight, which will be coming from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Amen. I know a lot of you all are battling. This is allergy season. Right? A lot of people are battling. For years, I never had problems in allergy season. But they said there's something about being in the Hudson Valley that people that never had allergies start getting allergies. I don't have allergies, but I have something. All right. And I don't like to name all that sickness stuff. I got something. I mean, don't be looking at me funny. I do have something. Whatever they name like everybody else is, amen. Amen. In the morning, I was like, what is this new stuff? Anybody got some new stuff? I'm 30 something years old. I had nothing. You know, so in my 30 something years, something starts sneaking up on me. That's all right. So I say, you older than 30. I'm not really older than 30. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Do we all have it?
Amen.
And for those that do not have it, it's on the screen. So on the more serious side tonight, how is your relationship with God? Is your relationship a casual relationship or is it a serious and sincere relationship? Verse 1 reads, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against
the
disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired to have letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished. Once again, and he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said,
The word of the Lord
is blessed already, may be seated. So tonight we're dealing with what kind of relationship do we have with the Lord. Now Saul was a religious leader, a religious figure at that time. So Saul was persecuting God's people and thought he was doing the right thing. So the Lord had to stop him on the road to Damascus, because in a casual relationship, you might have a lot of religion, but you might not have true salvation. A casual relationship, you might have a lot of religion. You might know a lot about God, but if a casual relationship is just a religion. But when you have a serious relationship, then you have true salvation. Can I get an amen? So Saul is on his way to Damascus to buy anything that was in this way, anything that was calling on the name of Jesus. Was Saul religious? Yes. The scripture says concerning Saul, or Paul before his conversion, that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He learned at the feet of Gamaliel, who was one of the religious teachers of that day. And the scripture says concerning the law, he was blameless. But through all of that, he still was in error. So you can mean well, but when the relationship is too casual, you can still be wrong. The Bible said there is a way that seemeth, there's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then the scripture says, all the ways of a man are what? Clean in his own eyes, but it's the law that weighs up the spirit. So in dealing with a casual relationship, in God weighing your spirit, what God does is he examines your motives. The way the spirit in God examines your motives to see why you do what you do. Amen. And then the scripture says, everywhere a man is right in his own eyes, but it's the Lord that pondereth the heart. Those two scriptures go hand in hand. Oh, that's my mouthpiece that you don't know. All right, gotcha. You don't know which mic I'm using, this mic or that mic. Well, I take that mic off from that. Amen. But in pondering the heart, those two scriptures, I believe, is Proverbs 16:2 and Proverbs 21:2. They go hand in hand because it deals with God, not man, but God discerning our hearts. Tonight, why do? What you do? When we're talking about God, in that relationship, is it a casual relationship or a sincere relationship? Now, we can bring it home a little closer. You know, anybody ever dated before? I hope all y'all dated. Anybody married? Let's see, anybody married? All y'all married? Just wait. your hand. Don't hold them down here. I can't see. Give me a high wave. When you were dating, I know when I was dating, my wife, if my relationship was too casual and I was spending time with everybody else, I'd be asked, are you serious in this relationship? Right? So in dating, I said, wait a minute, you don't ever call me, you don't spend time with me, so this relationship is too casual. Say, now I'm serious and you are just casual. So what are we going to do, right? Now, I ain't that old fashioned. So what are we going to do? Are you going to be serious or are you going to just keep playing? Where is this relationship headed? Is it casual or is it serious? Here I'm making every effort to please you, and you don't call me, you don't send me a letter, you don't send me cards, flowers. I don't know what they do today because they got all this technology. So I guess they Facebook in privacy, right? Or something like that. Right? Yeah, private Facebook meetings and all that stuff where you can talk on whatever, or what's that, FaceTime? But I FaceTime you every day. You don't FaceTime me ever. So what, are you really serious in this relationship? Y'all understand that, right? Well, the Lord asked us, God said, now I'm serious all the time. Because I'm your Savior. He said, your relationship with me is too casual. God said, I wake you up every morning. I start you on your way. I make sure you have life, health, breath, and strength. And you go days on end, and you don't even talk to me. He said, now, every day I make sure you have food to eat, clothing and shelter, and you don't even read about me. So God said, now I'm all serious. But how serious are you? Is this relationship too casual, or are you serious about God? Well, Saul thought that he was doing the right thing. But I think tonight, even in church, some of us need to have a Damascus Road experience. We need to have a Damascus Road experience. Sometimes in our busy life, we need God to stop us in our tracks and get our attention. Amen. Let's go back to here. Let's go back to the scripture verse. Actually, let's go to verse 5. Well, let's skip down to verse 6. Let's skip verse 5. Let's go to verse 6 for the sake of time, because we do have other scriptures. After the Lord spoke to him, he said, and he trembled in his tongue and said, this is how you know when you're really sold out to God. He didn't place no stipulations. He said, Lord, what will? That's a Damascus Road experience. When God gets my attention, and I don't try to negotiate with God. How many know sometimes we like to negotiate too much? Paul didn't negotiate when Paul realized that he was in error. When Paul realized he was going the wrong direction, he said, what would thou have? That's a Damascus Road experience. Well, we don't keep telling God, well, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do that. Paul was sold out. And that's what the scripture says. He said, what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of. When you have a Damascus Road experience, you don't hold anything back. Because everything that I am, Lord, I ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. So tonight, we're dealing with what kind of relationship do we have with the Lord? Is it just too casual? Yeah, Lord, I know you're there. I know you can help me. And when I need you, I'll call you. But right now, things are going pretty well with me, so I think I'll be all right. That is a religious attitude. But Paul said that I may know him. He said, I want to experience his suffering. I want to experience what the Lord experienced. He said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Now, many times we feel as though we pretty much know our way. Anybody get over 21? I guess when you get over 21, they always say, when I'm pre-tired 7, I know what to do, right? Can you go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23? Yeah, you know, anybody in here over 3 times 27?
we passed that one. Sorry.
Irene said, don't call on me.
Nah, I don't.
Anybody more than 3 times 7? What's 3 times 7?
21.
Right. Anybody over 21?
Yeah.
That used to be the same. The times have changed. But when you're 21, say, I don't know if anybody tell me one thing, but you, I am grown. And I know what to do. I don't need people to direct me or show me what to do. Amen? What Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 10:23, can we read this? Can we read this again? Just so I can make sure I got everybody's attention. Do we have it?
Amen.
Let's read it. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is what? We can't direct our ways. Even though we think we might be able to do it, we can't do it. He said, because it is not in man that to direct his steps. And the Bible says the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. And then I believe it's Psalm 119, verse 133. It says, Lord, order my steps through thy word. So even though you may be grown, it's not in you to direct your own way. We all still need to have a proper and a right relationship with the Lord. Amen. Now, Saul thought that he was doing the right thing, but his relationship was too casual. Because he was the very people he thought that he was persecuting for God, he was persecuting the church. He said, I did it in ignorance. Because I was doing it from within myself. That's why it's not in man. And for y'all women out there, that includes you too. Alright, y'all thought y'all got God of that, right? And she said, it's not a man, but we women, we got a mother's instinct. And a mother's intuition. And really that is true. Because like you say, I have problems. When my mother would call me up and say, I had a dream about you last night. It's like, wow, how does she keep, my wife would tell you, it's like, how does she keep doing this all the time? When I broke my finger trying to catch Joe from a fall, she said, I had a dream that you messed up your left finger last night. What happened? I had a dream last night that you messed up your left hand. What happened to your hand? I'm like, wow. Well, some mothers do have those intuitions, but that still can't direct us. We need to have a real relationship with the Lord for direction. So Saul thought he was doing everything. And in particular, the Bible says when Saul finally had his, and this is when you know you have a real, true relationship and an encounter with God. The scripture that when Saul arose, he saw no man. You know what that meant? It was between him and God then. When your relationship was right with God, no man would stand between you and the Savior. No woman, no anything would stand because you have a right relationship. And so I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, to contrast that, let's go to 2 Chronicles and chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to read or study a man, a king, that started off right. But even though sometimes we start off right, we can get off track when we take our eyes off of God. We can start off right and end up wrong. Because the Bible said Asa, who is whom we're going to talk about, did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord in the beginning. Amen? 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 1. Do we all have it? It says, in the 36 years. It didn't happen right away. He started off right, but 36 years later, in the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the
house.
Wait a minute. What's in the house of the Lord was supposed to stay in the
house of the Lord.
But because 36 years, his faith had changed. His devotion to God had changed. What he knew belonged to God, now he's taking that to give to a man for him. King Asa. Amen. And then he said, there's a league, verse 3, between me and thee, and there was a, as there was a league between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies. Verse 5 talks about all that happened. But let's get down to verse 7. All right, so what belonged to God, in his desperation for help, he gave it to a man. Because his relationship, after 36 years, had changed. At that time, verse 7, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not when your relationship changed. In the beginning, it was all about God. But when the relationship becomes too casual, then we have more of a dependency on man. And sometimes that's not another person, but that dependency is on yourself. That's why Paul tells the Galatian church, be not deceived. Right? That deception can come from within. It doesn't have to come from without. So Asa, after 36 years of doing that which is right, begins to change. Amen? And Hanani the seer came to Asa, and he said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore, the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Then he reads him some of his history. He reads him some of his past victories. He's trying to bring his mind back to where he used to be. No one in the sorrow said, Lord, take me what?
Back.
To where I first believed. Take me back to where I, you know, because sometimes through life and experiences, our relationship with the Lord changes. So we need God to take us back. Even when you first got saved, you're like, you know, nothing can take this salvation from me. I'm just so excited about God. No matter who talked or what they said, you say, I'm on the Lord's side. And just like Moses, when he came down and the people were practicing idolatry, he said, who's on?
The Lord's side.
Yeah, back then, I was on the Lord's side. And nothing you can do could change or sway me to go differently. Amen? So he began to record some of his victories from the past and show him how he got those victories. Do any of us ever take a few minutes to look back to where God has brought us from? No one of the songwriters said, when my soul looks back and wonders. I just thank God for, because my relationship with God, when I went through those hard times, was not casual. It was a serious relationship. And because it was serious, when things got hard, I saw no man, but I saw the Lord. Amen? He said, were not the Ethiopians and the Nubians a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou, you didn't rely on who? The Lord. He delivered out of his hand. Now he's talking about what you used to do. Anybody used to rely on that? This is for the internet. This ain't for y'all. But just so that y'all can identify. Can y'all help me out a little bit? Then when I get to the internet, I say, this ain't for the internet, this is for the church. I just want to, anybody used to rely on the Lord, wouldn't allow anyone to sway you. Wouldn't allow anyone to cause you to doubt God. I want to summarize and say, you can't make me
doubt.
Anybody got that testimony still? You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. What we used to do. I'm talking about when we used to have a real relationship. Hallelujah. Nobody had to tell me to pray. Nobody had to tell me to read my Bible. Nobody had to tell me to fast because I wanted to know him. I wanted to experience God in a personal way. That's when the relationship is real. That's when the relationship is serious. If nobody else wants to pray, I'll pray. church, I'll come. If nobody else wants to volunteer to do something for, I'll do it, because my growth, the National Road Experience taught me to say, Lord, what will without any negotiating. Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Bible said, just we didn't go far enough down. They said for 3 days and three nights, Saul saw nobody. And Saul fasted and prayed. Because God, at that time, God was now realigning Saul's life to be in harmony with his program. Sometimes God has to isolate you. Sometimes God allows you to go through a blind situation so that he can get your full attention. For those 3 days and three nights, the only thing Saul could do is concentrate on God, because he could see no man. Right? At that time, remember, Saul was always the leader. From that point on, he needed someone to lead him. So sometimes if God getting our attention, he has to bring you off your high horse and he have you follow for you to get in the right direction. Can we get a praise the Lord? But Asa, after Hananiah spoke to him, verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord runs. God's eyes are running throughout this whole world today to show himself strong in behalf of those whose the heart has to be right first. God wants to show himself strong, but God can't show himself strong unless your heart is right? Your heart has to be perfect towards God. That's why the scripture says that every way of a man is right in his whatever. If y'all ever do your own like personal assessment or evaluation, man, when you finish, you'll be like, man, I'm all right. Come on, y'all. Yeah, for real. Yeah, I got it together. I'm all this and all that. But God be looking way down here. God be weighing your spirit, pondering your heart. He said, you know what? I see you doing a whole lot of things. He said, but the motives are wrong. The reason that you're doing it, God said, you're not doing it for me, but you're doing it to receive a reward from man. So God said, as I weigh you, and yes, you come to church, but why do you come to church? Yes, you volunteer for the church, but why? We're talking about the motives. Right? You know, years ago, not y'all all right, but years ago, I used to hear people say, I'm going to volunteer so nobody will say nothing to me. Years ago, they didn't hear, right? Yeah, right? Why don't I talk about y'all? I said years ago, we only been here a couple months. I said, nobody shouldn't feel like you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking about years ago. I said, yeah, I just do this because I don't want nobody to have any mouth on me. That relationship is too casual. And the reason that you're doing it is wrong. God said, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord Jesus you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. All right, I got another scripture I'm going to give y'all in a minute, but let's finish this one first. All right, let's just finish this, where we at. So it says, for the eyes of the Lord were to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. He said, herein thou hast done foolishly. Well, what was it he did foolishly? He relied on man and not on God. When your relationship is not right with God, when things don't go right, we go to the man in a hurry. And God said, wait a minute, I'm looking to bless you, but the reason I can't bless you is because your confidence and your trust is in man. God said, I'm not going to bless you till I give you a Damascus Road experience and get your full attention. How do you know when God has your full attention? Because you don't see anybody between you and the Savior. Nothing can stand between you and your God. No one can come between you and God. Amen? But let's just finish. Now, we said this is 1 year of his reign, or what? 36 years of his reign. After 36 years, his heart had changed towards God. Now his dependency was more on who? That's when your relationship becomes too casual. When the dependency is more on an individual, to the husband, the wife, the boss, and then whatever it is. God has to be number one. And the way God puts us to the test is God said, okay, I'm gonna see if your heart is right. I'm gonna put you in one of those precarious situations. What's the precarious situation? Well, you have to be honest for God. But if you be honest with God, it might just get you in a little trouble with man. So now I'm in one of those tight spots. So what do I do? If I'm sincere, nothing comes between me and God. But if I'm casual, I begin to count the cost. And then counting the cost, if I really make this true stand for God, I'm going to lose some things. So since I'm afraid of what I might lose, God understands. God's merciful. God's kind. He understands. So I'm going to make this decision move with my confidence. Lord, you understand. Don't be upset. God understands. God is up. But God, in me making this decision, I just want you to just accept the fact that I'm just a little fearful. And I don't really know the outcome. So since I don't know the outcome, I'm just going to have to depend on man. God says, my eyes are running to and fro throughout the horde to show myself. You know what showed me? God is your deliverer. God is your way maker. God can do anything when your heart is perfect. Somebody said, things just ain't right. What's in your heart? Right, because God weighs our heart. God tries our spirit. God tries our motives. So this is the 36th year. But you think after the man of God comes to him, after Hananiah corrects him and says, listen, you depended too much on man. You would think that would have got his attention, especially when he told him all the things that God has already done for you. Right? Wouldn't you think that would have changed him? Well, let's see what happens with Asa. Verse 10 said, then Asa got mad at Hananiah. Their relationship is too wrong. Someone's trying to help you do the right thing. Thank God this don't happen in our church. But you know what? Sometimes you go the wrong way. And somebody tries to help you out and you get mad. What do they call it? I forgot. He's fighting mad or something. Or whatever. But you just get mad because somebody tried to help you out. This is for the internet. This ain't for y'all. Can y'all loosen up just a little bit? It's wild or something. I ain't talking to you. Bless you, miss you. Right? You get mad. You messing up and somebody's trying to help you get back on God. Because your relationship has become too casual. And they're trying to bring you back to where you ought to be in God. And you've got a nerve to get angry. Because God is trying to get your attention. If you don't say amen, can you say ouch? God's trying to get your attention. And you get angry. Somebody said, wait, you don't know what I used to do for God? God don't go by what you used to do. He goes by what you're doing right now. Amen. Because the path of the judgment over last week was as a shine light supposed to shine. But when your faith, your walk with God begins to diminish, when the church or the world looks at you and say, are you still saved? Are you really saved? Do you have a real relationship with God? This was Asa. So Asa got mad at the seer and put him in. If somebody's trying to help you, don't you put them in prison. You see, if they're trying to lead you in the right direction, when you're in error, because your faith has changed and your relationship has become too casual. And they're trying to direct you back to having a proper relationship. Don't get mad at them. And don't put them in prison. You know what he put them in prison? He said, you know what? I'm going to lock you up because I don't want to hear nothing you have to say. How many people have you locked up? I said, I didn't put them in a physical prison. We put them in a mental prison because you just locked them out. You don't want to hear nothing they got to say. Say, ouch. All right, I'm almost finished. Just keep going, all right? He put him in prison, and he was in a you want to get all out of sorts. Your relationship has become too casual. Time has waned on you and has worn your spiritual relationship out, that you don't have the trust in God that you used to have. Amen. That was Asa's problem. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Verse 7 says, "And behold, the acts of Asa first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel." And Asa in the... So we know it began in the what year? The 36th year. 3 years later, he still had not corrected his relationship with God. Amen? Said that in the 39th year of his reign was disease in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his, he still would not seek after God, but he sought after
physicians.
God was trying to get him back to the original relationship, but his hardships, his difficulties, was not bringing him closer to God. It was driving him further away, because the relationship was too casual. Lord, if Asa could have just had a Damascus Road experience, if God could have got his attention in the 39th year, so he could say, "Lord, I'm in an error, but what wilt thou have me to do?" Not what you want to do, because as I said earlier, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the Bible says the end thereof are the ways of. You think you're doing the right thing, but that's your way. But what is God saying to you? And God speaking to you, what is he doing? He's telling you, amen. So that's the 39th year. Now let's go to verse 13 of the same chapter. We're talking about who? Asa. It says, verse 13 says, "And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the what?" For 5 years, he couldn't get it together, because his relationship had gotten too casual. How did you start off so well? You know what Paul asked the Galatian church? He said, "You did run. You did do the right things. You were making a stand for God." He said, "But who did? Who got in your way? What man? What individual? What person has gotten in your way that you do not now obey the truth?" You did run. You were doing the right thing. You were all on God's side. Then he asked him a different way in chapter 1. He said, "Who did me with you?" He said, "You know what? In order for you to change this way, someone had to cast a spell on you. Someone had to use some kind of demonic influence to get you to go the wrong direction." We're talking about the Galatian church. Tonight, your relationship has become too casual. You don't trust God. Now let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 10 again. So now we read in verse 23, "Is not in wait a man to direct his what? Path." It is not a man that walks. We cannot direct our path. That's why the Bible says trust in the Lord with all. You know how many times the Lord keeps talking about all the heart, a perfect heart, a right spirit? Trust in the Lord with what?
All.
Whenever you trust in God with part of your heart, you have not given them all. You are not fully sold out. And your decision making is going to be based on what you think and not what God says. And a lot of times it's so hard to do the right thing when you want to do what you want to do. Amen? So there's a way, it seems right. You know, when you look at it on paper, yeah, that's right. But what does God say? And there's sometimes when things look all right, we used to say, "But you know, before I make my final decision, I think I'll consult the one that knows best." It sounds good. But before I make a final decision, I believe I'll go to my God. So verse 23 says, he says, "It's not a man that walks to direct his path." But then verse 24, he acknowledges what he means. Amen? Verse 24, he says, "O Lord, O Lord, Lord, I might have been in error, but tonight I give you permission. O Lord, correct me." my relationship. Because I thought I could direct my own way, but oh Lord,
correct.
Give God permission to correct it. You know what Saul meant? He said, Lord, I thought I was doing the right thing. He said, but now I want you to correct me. And what will you? Can you honestly ask God tonight from the depth of your heart, from down in your soul, say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I know maybe for 36 years, me and said I've done what I wanted to do. But I don't want to lose all that good favor I gained doing what I want to do. So he said, oh Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Our relationship with God has become so casual that we don't even want correction. So Lord, just, you ever come to church and say, I know God was speaking to me, and then go to church and do the same thing? We won't humble ourselves in the hand under the mighty hand of the Lord, and He might exalt us. I know God was speaking to me. I'm not talking about y'all. Can y'all smile a little bit? Thank you. But is God speaking to you tonight? God, correct me. Lord, show me the direction you have me to go. I know I've been doing what I want to do, but I'm really ready to say, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Jesus.
That's the only reason I'm the pastor of this church, because I didn't do what I wanted to do. And everybody knows that it was no fact. They said, Pastor, I said, absolutely, positively, no. Because I'm not going to be in Troy but another few months, because I'm going down to the Peace League. But a pastor that was talking to me said, and what happened to those souls that were following you if they wind up lost? You know, God's going to hold it on your account. I said, why do you have to see that? I would have been out of here. But you know what? It wasn't up to me what I want to do. Who in the world wants to give you in New York all the snow and cold all the time, right? Amen. And all my family, all there's so many camps in Georgia, I get lost. But Lord, what would thou have me to do? It's not about what I want. It's not about what I want to do. Amen. It's about what does God want me to do? Tonight, what does God want you to do? Can you honestly, from the depth of your heart, say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. I only got a few more verses and a few more minutes. And the one I said I was going to go to, I'm not going to go to because it's not in the notes, so we just keep going. But we need to change our spiritual focus, and we need to get it back on God. There's too many things, as I said on Sunday, that's got between us and God. So God is leading us one direction, and we're following the crowd, and we're going in another direction. God is trying to get us to straighten up our lives spiritually, but the crowd is all right where they are. And as long as I stay in the crowd, I don't stand out too much. God sees you where you are. And God, in his attempt to get us in the right direction, he will set roadblocks. He will set the sun above the sky to blind you spiritually to get your attention. But what would be your response? Will you surrender or will you continue to be me or do what you want to do? Lucifer was an archangel. He ushered in the presence of God, but he got in trouble because he said, I is one of the, I is only, how many letters in I? Not the E-Y, the I. Only one, that I will get you in trouble. All Lucifer kept saying is, I will. I wonder tonight, has anyone talked about what I will? Or will we say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, for where you are, where your treasure is, and where you are. Where is your treasure tonight? Where is your heart tonight? Amen. It says, verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other,
Unless you hold to one and despise the other, you cannot serve God and man.
Now, all of Matthew chapter 6 in the beginning, God, the Lord is teaching them about prayer. All the beginnings are about prayer. So he's telling them in prayer and says, even in prayer, where your treasure is, there will your heart be
awesome.
Where will your heart be also? Then he says, even if you're praying to God, you cannot serve. We're talking about spirituality tonight. We're talking about, oh, that I may know him. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. This is what we don't like this too much. Being made conformable unto his. You know, I know I follow Jesus always, but when it comes to suffering, that's where the line stops. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Scripture says, God knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Amen. Verse 25 says, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not your life tonight? I wonder tonight, is your life more than meat? And is your body more than raiment? And I believe up in the sixth verse of that chapter, he says, your heavenly Father. You know what? He didn't say, not God. This is when God makes it intimate and personal. Right? For your relationship. He says, your heavenly Father. Can we say heavenly Father?
Heavenly Father.
Knoweth what things you have need of before you. Not just a father, but your heavenly Father. He knows what you have need of before you ask. But God is trying to align your life spiritually with his program. But a lot of times we like to do what we want to do? Amen? Verse 25 says, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, and what you should eat, your body, amen. Verse 27, what do you mean by taking thought? Can I add one? You know what the Lord's saying? You don't know how to direct your path. You don't know what to do. He says, so stop worrying about it. Casting all your cares upon him because he casting some of your cares. Casting the things you can't control. Casting what? I wonder tonight, can we, is our relationship serious enough that I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I just give it to Jesus? Are you willing to surrender all? Can you cast all your cares upon him? Verse 31 says, therefore take no saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be? You worrying about the wrong things. God already knows what you have need of
before
you ask. Why are you worried about what God? He said, God takes care of the lilies of the field. He takes care of the fowls of the air. He takes care of all. He said, are you not too much more valuable than the sparrows? Don't you know God knows how to take care of you? Stop being so casual in your relationship. Amen? So for after all these things do the... That's what the world worries about, not the church. The church should be worried about that because we know that God knows what things we have and we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Amen? He said, but seeking...
First.
Seeking...
First.
What are we seeking... First, not second, not third, not fourth. Seek ye what?
First.
We're going to leave right there. I think that's a good one. But seek ye first of what? And his
righteousness.
Now, a lot of times we seek the kingdom of God, but when we get to that righteousness, well, we have a problem. Because righteousness in seeking the kingdom of God, righteousness means to do right in the sight of
God.
Right? So we're seeking God. But you know what? How many ever hear that say, God gave you common sense? Right? God gave you common sense. You know? If God gave you common sense, why are you going to do this? Why are you going to do that? God gave us common sense. He gave the children of Israel common sense too when they got to the Red Sea. Right? When they got to the Red Sea, common sense told them,
we finish. Right? We talk about common sense, right? When your situation is too difficult. They got to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh was closing in behind, and the Red Sea was in front of them. They had nowhere to go. You know what the Lord told them? He said, just stand still. Hallelujah. And see the sea. That's when common sense don't make any sense. It's time for us tonight to stand still and see the salvation of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness in the scriptures. He didn't say all, but I'm saying all. All right, don't be correct to me. I know how you all listen to me. Yeah, I know. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and
all of his righteousness.
Because a lot of us like to pick and choose. I do this, but I won't do that. You know those spiritual smallest works as we all stand? Spiritual buffets, whatever they call it. Tonight, is your relationship serious or sincere with God? Or do you need a Damascus Road experience? So God can stop you. Anybody need to be stopping your tracks? I'm not saying this is a question we're asking. Anybody need to be stopped still in their tracks so God can get your attention? Have you been doing what you want to do and thinking it was right, but it was wrong? Have you been pursuing something that God told you not to pursue, but you did it anyway because you thought it was right? Well, it's time for us tonight to have a Damascus Road experience. That Damascus Road experience is, Lord, what? Would I have to do as the elders and the ministers come forward? The only thing that counts tonight is that God can see that it's well with our souls. It's not important what I see or what I think. What does God see in you? What does God think about you? Can God tell you it's well? He said, if God says well for your soul, then enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But if it's not well, God will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. How can someone be in church, perform miracles, and do all that? God said, I never knew you. It's time for us to come to a spiritual reality. Lord, my relationship has been too casual. I need to turn it up. I don't want to do it for anybody but for God. Because I know in the end, all the one that has the heaven and hell put me in is God. That's why Jesus says, fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but fear him who's able to destroy both the body and soul in hell. Evangelist verse 8.